how do you explain Mike Huckabee, Ted Cruz? And there are a lot like that. John Bolton. I mean, I've known them all. George W. Bush, like the Karl Rove. I mean, all people I know personally who I've seen like be seized by this brain virus. Mm-hmm. And they're not Jewish. They're, and most of them are self-described Christians. And then the Christian Zionists, mm-hmm. who are, well, Christian Zionists. Like, what is that?
Right.
And I could just say for myself, I dislike them more than anybody. You know, because like, what? Because it's Christian heresy, and I'm offended by that as a Christian.
Okay, and thus the latest controversy started. This is Sandy Rios with you. This came out of an interview that Tucker did with white nationalists. I don't, you could have him described a lot of different ways, Nick Fuentes. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about Nick today, although I did a lot of time researching him. But my point is to tackle the issue again about the confusion in our culture, among our young people, among our churches, Catholics, evangelicals, mainline denominations, a mass confusion that is causing anti-Semitism to rise to a fevered pitch around the world through the leadership of the Islamists, the Palestinian protesters, the Hamas protesters, who've gained a great voice in the culture and internationally, and it's wreaking havoc with the Jewish community. It's providing a time where they have no safe place to go. America used to be their home. It has been their home since the foundations of this country. Not in many numbers, but they were there. Many of them thought, you know, that they could tell you Civil War, Revolutionary War even. They are Americans, and yet they have a distinctive identity. It's hard for us to get our mind around it sometimes, but I'm going to try to do that today and try to sort this out the best way I can. I would just say to you, earlier this week, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning with just this deep, deep impression and agony, really, over the divide that this is causing, and I think is going to cause, not just Tucker's comments, and I'll be focusing on that today. Tucker has a very large voice in the conservative movement, and that's what does, it's the division among Christians, and it's the division then again among conservatives in the broader sense that is really grieving me. And it's causing very real things to happen that are not good for the world. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today. But first, we have still such a problem with the French abortion pill. I know they don't call it that now. It's the abortion pill, but it's two pills, as I've described many, many times. And it is causing, it's just wreaking havoc. I'll just tell you, the Foundation for the Restoration of America had a team of board-certified OBGYN clinicians comb through more than 865,000 insurance claims related to chemical abortions between 2017 and 2023. And of course, we've had two more years of it since then. They found that at least 10.9%, almost 11%, resulted in a serious adverse health event. Women are giving birth to their forced abortions in their homes by themselves, young women in bathrooms. And women, you know what it's like to give birth. They are giving birth, and they're doing it by themselves in their bathrooms at various stages. There really aren't any limits on where the baby has to be in terms of gestation period. And so you can just fill in the blanks about how traumatic this is. You know, it was bad enough to have someone else kill your baby, but now that they're allowing you, you take that pill, you take those pills, and you put them in your mouth, and you are the one killing your baby. There's no middleman. So you think about the repercussions of you not only in that moment physically, but also in years to come. I think it is horrendous. Now, Preborn has a solution to that. They have a solution, at least in part. If you take one of the pills, that's the one that starts. The first pill actually kills the baby. The second pill induces labor. It's just so horrific. Can you believe we're talking about these things? If moms change their mind and they come to a Preborn clinic right after they've taken that first pill, there is a reversal pill. And that's the one good thing that we can say about this. But how many women are able to do that? We're encouraging you to do that. Get the word out. Go to Preborn Clinic. Go to just go online and you can find a Preborn clinic anywhere. But also, if you want to help by providing an ultrasound or continuing the work that Preborn is doing in the area of preventing or stopping these chemical abortions, you just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. All right, well, fasten your seatbelts because this is going to be a big one, thick and full, on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
So it was like mid-December, mid-late December. It's actually funny. It was December 18th. I remember because that's an important date to me. And
why?
It's Joseph Stalin's birthday. Oh. I'm a fan.
You're a fan of Stalin's?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was an admirer. But we don't need to go into that. I mean, as far as the Jews are concerned, I think that, like I said, you cannot actually divorce Israel and the neocons and all of those things that you talk about from Jewishness. And again, it's not because they're born, but it's sort of a rational self-interest politically to say, I'm a minority. I'm a religious ethnic minority. This is not really my home. My ancestral home is in Israel. There's like a natural affinity that Jews have for Israel. And I would say on top of that, for the international Jewish community. They're extremely organized. I don't think it's genetically inherited. And what you're saying about putting aside the tribal interest for the corporate interest,
yes,
that's absolutely the case. And that's the only way the country's going to stay together.
Exactly.
And
that's my concern.
And I absolutely agree with you. I would say, though, that the main challenge to that, a big challenge to that, is organized Jewry in America.
Okay, that's the voice of Nick Fuentes. That's the most recent controversial interview, unless there's been one in the last 24 hours. That Tucker Carlson has had. Now, Nick has been described a lot of different ways, a Jew hater, a white nationalist. I listened to the whole interview, and I found it pretty. He's very, very bright. And on some things, I resonated with him. But I wanted you to hear what he said about, first of all, on that clip, Stalin, because really and truly, when you peel back the onion, that is absolutely incompatible with anything that any of us embrace. Stalin killed millions of his own people. Stalin, self-described, was a follower of Satan. He said this at conference at Malta with Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, and Winston Churchill. I think Churchill and Roosevelt gave thanks to God, and Stalin gave thanks to Satan. They were the three, uniting powers that fought against the Nazis. That's Stalin, and Nick loves Stalin. So that's all you have to really know. His explanation about Jewry, that's another addition to it, and that's why people say that he's anti-Semitic. Okay, so I just wanted to set the table for that because that's basically, and it was at the end of that interview, close to the end, when Tucker made his first statement, you heard that that Christian Zionism is a brain virus and that he dislikes Christian Zionists above all groups of people. So it was a very red flag. And then the second thing that happened shortly on the heels of that, because it caused a firestorm, as you may imagine, and we're going to try to talk about it. I'll try to make it as clear as I possibly can. But then Kevin Roberts, who was the president of Heritage Foundation. Now, I need to tell you, I'm sure many of you know, Heritage is the largest conservative think tank in the country. And I've been working with them for years. Many of the employees are very dear friends of mine. I used to do my show at Heritage when I would go in from Chicago when I did a live radio show. So I have great relationships there. And I have to say, Kevin Roberts has brought a new kind of leadership. I think he's done a wonderful job. I've been a great admirer of his because he's really actually moved Heritage to the right. They used to not take a stand on moral issues, but they become the leader on like a pro-abortion And also on transgenderism, they've done great work on that. So I want to set the table for that. So that's true. Whatever I say, that is absolutely true. Well, Kevin Roberts felt compelled to do a video, and I think that I'll just let you listen. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I'm going to play a couple of clips from it. But I tried to pick the most important points related to our discussion, and this is the first one, clip six.
I'll have more to say on this in the coming days, but today I want to be clear about one thing. Christians can critique the state of Israel without being anti-Semitic. And of course, anti-Semitism should be condemned. My loyalty as a Christian and as an American is to Christ first and to America always. When it serves the interests of the United States to cooperate with Israel and other allies, we should do so, with partnerships on security, intelligence, and technology. But when it doesn't, conservatives should feel no obligation to reflexively support any foreign government, no matter how loud the pressure becomes from the globalist class or from their mouthpieces in Washington. The Heritage Foundation didn't become the intellectual backbone of the conservative movement by canceling our own people or policing the consciences of Christians. And we won't start doing that now.
Okay, so that's a pretty good intro. I mean, I think most of that a lot of us would agree with. I think that even in terms of Israel, depending on your view, that America's interests have to come first. But I find that most of the time our interests are joined with Israel's, but that's my opinion. Okay, so he sets the stage for that, fair enough. But then he goes to this in his defense of Tucker Carlson, clip seven.
We will always defend truth. We will always defend America, and we will always defend our friends against the slander of bad actors who serve someone else's agenda. That includes Tucker Carlson, who remains, and as I have said before, always will be a close friend of the Heritage Foundation. The venomous coalition attacking him are sowing division. Their attempt to cancel him will fail.
Okay, so, and then he also goes into the fact that we're not going to cancel Nick Fuentes. And the people that are criticizing Tucker are a venomous coalition attempting to cancel Tucker. So we stand by Tucker. It's basically what he says. Tucker is affiliated in many ways. I think he advertises Heritage on his show. At least he used to. I think Dana Loesch, who I've known about Dana for years. I've never met her. Our paths have never crossed. And I've never really listened to her show. So I tell you, I think she did an incredible job challenging Kevin Roberts on his statement. And before I go to anything else, I think I'm going to just pause and play her challenges and his responses just to flesh this thing out a little bit more. Let's first go Dana Loesch, clip 11.
People sowing division, and you were talking about venomous attacks. Who are you talking about with that?
I was referring to people who've been very venomous, and I think that's the right word, toward me and toward Heritage for asking questions as we discussed about the Gaza church. And of course, there are details about that we still don't know. We were just asking a question about it. We've also been charged of anti-Semitism because we're great friends with Turning Point, not just since Charlie's assassination, but before. And I just find it absurd, at least based on my firsthand knowledge, that anyone would make the claim that anti-Semitism exists inside Turning Point USA or the Heritage Foundation. It shows that they're not really up for debate. And I find that really venomous. What I don't want is for people, friends in particular, of Heritage and of mine, who have been thoughtful about this issue, but maybe have a difference of opinion regarding Tucker and Fuentes and whether you cancel or not, to draw the conclusion that we were lumping them into that category. It's a very specific, hopefully small group of people, mostly in Washington, who have some really nefarious agendas of their own.
People sowing division, trying to cancel Tucker and Nick Fuentes. So I'll come back to that Turning Point issue about anti-Semitism in just a second, but I don't want to get off track. Dana goes on and continues to challenge Kevin very respectfully. This is clip 12.
It seems because a lot of people I get what they're saying. A lot of people feel confusion because they feel as though their criticisms, which seem to be scripturally based, are being maligned as the division that is being sown, or that that's what is being described as venomous. And I think a lot of individuals find that hard to reconcile, especially when it's said in defense of someone who would say that they hate Christian Zionists, or you know, they hate people like Mike Huckabee or Ted Cruz because they support, you know, Israel as a U.S. ally. Why doesn't that description go both ways?
That description can go both ways. What we're trying to do is eliminate that kind of venom both directions.
Is it venomous to say that you hate Christian Zionists?
Well, of course it is. I mean, I've been really clear, not just yesterday and today, but my entire career, that and the Heritage certainly has in its entire existence, that those kinds of things are just abhorrent. I said that literally yesterday.
Because Tucker said those things. So that would be, I mean, is that not sowing division?
It's certainly not helpful, but it doesn't mean that he ought to be canceled, because if in fact,
well, that's not the question. It's not whether he should be canceled. Is that sowing division to say things like that?
Oh, certainly, in a lot of our friends' minds. But the point.
But you didn't put that in your statement, though.
Because the proximity or the context for the statement was something very different, and that was, as we were talking about a few minutes ago, all of the pressure that Heritage was receiving to cancel Tucker, which is just not, we wouldn't do that to you, we wouldn't do that to him, we wouldn't do it to friends, you know, who have other ideas, because ultimately what that looks like is sort of the purges of the French or Russian Revolution, and we get a conservative.
Right, and I don't mean to interrupt you, I don't disagree with you necessarily in terms of, you know, if that in terms of some of the comparisons, but what you call cancellation, I saw people trying to have some accountability and say, well, this seems like this only goes one way. Heritage put out a statement calling everyone who criticizes this, you know, venomous and sowing division, but yet they were silent when, you know, there was criticism of Ben Shapiro accusing him of basically being an agent of Israel, or going after Mark Levin for something similar, or going after Mike Huckabee or Ted Cruz. And so how is that not canceling of those individuals, but criticism of the way Tucker handled his interview considered cancellation? That seems entirely hypocritical.
Look, what Tucker does, Tucker does.
I'm talking about your statement, though, that you released.
Which I was about to address.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Heritage was not engaged in those comments about those people. I don't support those comments for those other friends in the movement. But the key point is, even in spite of that, it doesn't mean that we were going to call for the cancellation of Tucker. We're not going to call for the cancellation of anybody. We think that's ultimately counterproductive to the conversation that we need to have.
Okay, so did you think that Kevin Roberts sounded a little confused and the questions were clear, but the answers were not? That's kind of what I think. And I think I have diagnosed some of the problems here. Most certainly not all of them. But I'm not going to diagnose that one yet. I'm going to go to another exchange here. This was an exchange that we played a few months ago when it happened. It's when Ted Cruz did a long form interview with Tucker, and they really got into it. Tucker listed Ted Cruz in the list of Christian Zionists that he can't stand. That is the group he dislikes the very most. So this is just a recap now of an exchange between Tucker and Senator Ted Cruz way back, or a few months ago, on this whole defense of Israel. This is clip 4.
You suggested it was a strange thing that I said a minute ago that when I came into the Senate, I resolved that I was going to be the leading defender of Israel. And what you didn't ask is why. So let me tell you why.
No, you said I was obsessed with Israel, and you had just told me that, like, your driving motive to get to the Senate was to defend Israel. I don't think I'm the one who's obsessed with Israel.
Okay.
So,
Tucker, words matter.
And
you know that. I said I resolved to be the leading defender of Israel, and you said your driving motive, the reason you're in the Senate.
You want to be the leading defender of Israel. I would think if I ran for Senate, I'd be like, there are people dying of drug ODs on the street.
My driving motive is to fight for Texas and America, and to fight for jobs, and to fight for the Constitution. And you played a very, very careful word game of a lie to you.
You're the one who said it, not me.
So you still haven't asked why, but I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
And the reason is twofold. Number one, as a Christian, growing up in Sunday school, I was taught from the Bible, those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And from my perspective, I want to be on the blessing side of things.
Of those who bless the government of Israel?
Those who bless Israel is what it says. It doesn't say the government of, it says the nation of Israel. So that's in the Bible. As a Christian, I believe that.
Where is that?
I can find it to you. I don't have the scripture off the tip of my. You pull out the phone and use the Google.
It's in Genesis. But so you're quoting a Bible phrase. You don't have context for it. And you don't know where in the Bible it is. But that's like your theology. I'm confused. What does that even mean?
Tucker.
I'm a Christian. I want to know what you're talking about.
Okay. Where does my support for Israel come from? Number one, because biblically we're commanded to support Israel. But number two.
Hold on. You're a senator and now you're throwing out theology and I am a Christian and I am allowed to weigh in on this.
Okay. So that's the first part of their exchange. Now, did you think that Ted was a little confused too? Ted said what many of us grew up in evangelical churches. I would say the same thing, that I was taught that those that bless Israel will be blessed and those who curse Israel will be cursed, because that is in Genesis 12. And Ted did not remember the passage, which I probably wouldn't have either. But it, to me, revealed a point I want to make further. And actually, before I make that point, let's go to that next exchange.
We are commanded as Christians to support the government of Israel?
We are commanded to support Israel. And we're
what does
told,
that mean, Israel?
We're told those who bless Israel will be blessed.
But what? Hold on. Define Israel. This is important. Are you kidding? This is a majority Christian country.
Define Israel? Do you not know what Israel is? That would be the country you've asked like 49 questions about.
So that's what Genesis, that's what God is talking about.
The nation of Israel, yes.
So is that the current borders, the current leadership? He's talking about the political entity called Israel?
He's talking about the nation of Israel. Yeah, nations exist, and he's discussing a nation. A nation was the people of Israel.
Is the nation
they're the descendants
God's
of
referring
Abraham.
To in Genesis, is that the same as the country run by Benjamin Netanyahu right
yes.
now?
Yes, yes.
It is. Okay.
And by the way, it's not run by Benjamin Netanyahu as a dictator. It's a
I'm
democratic
not saying
country
he's a dictator.
That elected.
He's the prime minister.
Right.
What?
But just like, you know, America is the country run by Donald Trump. No, actually, the American people elected Donald Trump. Same principle
this is
there.
This is silly. I'm talking about the political entity of modern Israel.
Yes, and that is
you
that is
believe
Israel.
That's what God was talking about yes. in Genesis.
I do, but
that country's existed since when?
For thousands of years. Now, there was a time when it didn't exist, and then it was recreated just over 70 years ago.
But I'm saying, I think most people understand that line in Genesis to refer to the Jewish people, God's chosen people.
That's not what it says.
Okay, Israel, but you don't even know where in the Bible it is. So
I don't remember sure. the scriptural citation. But, okay, I keep...
It's like Genesis 16 or something like that. But yes, it's in the earlier part of the book. But the point is...
All right, Tucker, you keep interrupting me before I finish my sentence.
No, it's just important to know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're... So you're saying as a Christian, if I believe in Jesus, I have to support the modern state of Israel?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm explaining for me what my vote motivation is.
God tells you to support the modern state of Israel in the Bible, in some place in the Bible that you heard about, but you don't know where it is. That's your theology?
Okay, so more confusion. And I have to say, look, I've had to be in the communications world for many, many years now. And I know how hard it is to be able to make the case on these difficult topics. But I think that Ted's response showed one of the problems, and Tucker's challenge and disrespect showed the result of that problem. So let me go back and tell you what I'm thinking about. What is causing this confusion in the world? Obviously, I can't answer all that question, but I want to give you four main things that I think is causing it. And I have spoken about this before, but I think it bears repeating. First of all, in Christian Protestant churches, pulpits, there is lack of teaching on the nation of Israel, on the state of Israel, on its role in Scripture from beginning to end. I would say lack of teaching. I'd say silence. Silence. When is the last time your pastor laid out the role of Israel in world history? And trust me, it's there from the beginning to the end. Look at what's happening now. Let me just make a secular point. Look what's happening. Where is the world focused on and has been for the last, really not till the Jews returned to Israel in 1948, I think it was, when they reestablished the nation, which was, by the way, prophesied in Scripture. But that little tiny dried up piece of land that's only 15 miles wide in one place has become the focus of the world. the focus of the hatred of all these countries in the UN. It's only been the United States and a few other isolated countries who have supported Israel. It was Harry Truman who picked up the phone and recognized the state of Israel right after they declared themselves a state and the UN gave them that property, which God had given them, I'll have to figure it out. But God promised that land to them 4,000 years ago. Okay, but we hear nothing about that. Do you hear something about it? I don't hear anything about it. I think maybe some Sunday school classes are tackling this, but our pastors, our teachers, our spiritual leaders have to step up to the plate. And why aren't they stepping up to the plate? Because I don't know how many years ago, but I'd say in the last 20, 30, maybe, seminaries have stopped talking about Israel in the way at least evangelicals were taught from Scripture. There was this whole idea, and I know this is a repeat, but I have to repeat it, I suppose, this whole notion that the promises that God made to Israel in Genesis 12 was not just for them, because they messed up, because they were unfaithful. God transferred those promises to Christians, to the Christians, the universal body of Christ. And we are now the heir apparent to those promises, and God's promises do not apply to the Jewish people anymore. Well, that's just an absolute lie. Talk about heresy. If you don't doubt me, please look at the book of Romans, chapter 9 through 11. Take the time to sit and read it. I think I read it on the air a few months ago when I talked to my Jewish friend Bobby. And this will sort it out, because Paul lays out the defense of the promises applying to Israel, and no one has criticized Israel any more than the Apostle Paul. Now, I know some people don't believe Paul that wrote Romans. I don't care to get into that right now. I'm going to give him credit for it. It sounds like him to me. It's certainly a Jewish scholar who wrote that. And he makes the case from Scripture that God's promises are eternal. And he says that, you know, basically God is going to forgive them. There will be there'll be a renewal. And, this is an aside from that. It doesn't say it in Romans 9:2-11. But for most of us who study Scripture and theology, it seems as though God did, for a time, turn his back on his people. He's done that before because they were so rebellious. Over and over again, he called them, "You stiff-necked people. How long do I have to deal with you?" Because they were stubborn in every generation. There were very few good kings, faithful kings, very few faithful prophets. You know, it's not just the Jews, but I'm talking about the Jews right now, okay? And they were the center. They are the people God did not choose a nation of Jews. God chose a man named Abraham. And Abraham's descendants became the nation of Israel. And God gave his promise to Abraham's descendants. He said he would make his descendants too numerous to count. Abraham and his wife were barren. This is an amazing story. And yes, so then the Jews embraced him, and then they didn't. They rejected him, and then they didn't. That's the Old Testament over and over again. Times of rebellion, complaining in the wilderness when God delivered them from Egypt. It goes on and on and on. But God never said, "I will never." He turned his back on them for a time for punishment, as he does to Christians. When he needs to get our attention, he needs us to learn a lesson. He brings, I think it's Habakkuk, he brings a worse nation to judge the nation that he loves, because he can't let us go on like that. And that's what's happened to the Jews over and over again. And so I think we're in a period where God really is working through the body of Christ, Gentiles for the most part, but not all. But we know from prophecy that that's going to change, that the Jews will become central and then play a major role all the way to the end of time. So I just had to, are you hearing that in church? I mean, I'm not making this up. I would just challenge all of you that are believers in Christ to study what God says about this, and to encourage your pastors to speak up, stop being silent. How can they be silent? How can they? I don't understand that. And that probably grieves me as much as anything. I take a ton of pagans in a barrel over people who claim Christ, and pastors especially, who will not have the courage to talk about these kinds of issues and leave their people in silence. And a guy like Ted Cruz, who's brilliant, can't even really make the case like he should, because he, too, was given just basics like sound bites. God who blesses Israel, those that bless Israel will be blessed. Those that curse Israel will be cursed. That's one of the promises to Abraham. But it's the deeper understanding that Ted needs in order to make the case. And I bet he's looked into it by now. All right, so there's a second thing. And I think maybe I will illustrate this by playing a clip that we played a few months ago. This is after, you may recall that in Gaza, there was a Catholic church that was bombed. And they said, some said that Israel had bombed this church. And that was proof that they are, you know, killing people, part of the genocide. And this is Christians. Jews are killing Christians and destroying their churches. But, you know, the person that actually made that statement was the new Pope, Pope Leo. Let's listen.
Aggiungere anche in questi giorni notizie drammatiche.
They continue to add dramatic news, especially in parts of the world as Gaza. I express my sincerest and deepest sorrow to hear about the Israeli attack on the Holy Family Parish in Gaza. As you know, last Thursday, three people were killed as a result of the attack, and many others were injured. We pray for these victims.
Najwa Ibrahim Latif Abu Daud.
And I am particularly close to their families and all of the parishioners.
Si aggiunge ai continui attacchi militari contro la popolazione civile e i luoghi di culto a Gaza.
We also pray, and I'm also close to all those who continue to be affected by the attacks on civilians in Gaza. So we need to stop immediately these barbaric acts of war.
I'm not sure where to start, except to say that that attack on the Holy Family Church in Gaza was not an attack by Israel. It was an accidental piece of something that fell off a tank. And it did not really blow up the church the way the Pope described it. It sounds, from all of my reading, it was an accidental situation and an accidental death. Why in the world, I appeal to you in just logic, would Israel kill Christians in a Christian church and attack a Christian church in Gaza? It didn't used to be this way, but I can tell you now from personal experience that Jews in Israel and Jews in this country understand now that Christians are their best friends. Serious Christians are their best friends. They know that now. They've known that now for probably 15 years. I think that's the last time, maybe 10 years ago I was in Israel. They know it fully. They were hostile initially to Christianity. When I went over there the very first time, hostile to Christians, skeptical, arrogant. They're not that way now. They understand it. And they work with Christians all the time. Look at Netanyahu working with President Trump. Yes, I know. President Trump isn't a Christian like some of you hope that he is. I'm not claiming he's had all the experiences, but he is looked at as a Christian. He's certainly the best friend to Christians this country has ever had as a president. So why in the world would they attack a church in Gaza and kill civilians? That is just plainly absurd. So here we have a new pope, Pope Leo, and you have to consider that Catholics have been through a really rough patch. And before I finish that little statement, I'm going to interrupt myself to say, for my entire activist life, I have worked with Catholics, my dear, dear friends. I am well aware of the differences in our theology, but I chose and still choose to always assume that when they talk about Jesus and they say they know him and they quote scripture, I am right there with them. I don't listen with a skeptic's ear. I believe them. I believe they're committed. And I'm not sitting there, you know, critiquing based on the things in scripture I know that I don't believe are a Christian doctrine, the things that are more Catholic teaching. So I've had this history of loving them and working with them and accomplishing a lot with them. So I have to say that. So then Catholics hit a terrible patch with the revelation of the priests molesting mostly boys, just horrible, horrible. One story after another, the hierarchy, the cardinals, just deception and lies. It was just horrible. Attendance dropped away from the Catholic Church. Many people left, stopped giving. And it's been, you know, going on now for a couple of decades. And so they entered a time of great shame when they were, at one time, American Catholics, very proud of their faith. You know that. They, you know, it, like some Protestant groups, they believe they're the only church. So there's just a lot of pride in the ceremony and all of it. And now they've gone through a period of shame. And now they have a new pope, and I think, you know, they disdained their last pope. Serious Catholics disdained the last pope because he really was, you know, embraced homosexual marriage, he embraced all these things. He was just terrible. And it was very hard to draw a line between Scripture and his positions. So I think they thought Pope Leo was going to be different. I think that's what we were told. But I don't personally, I don't know everything about him, but from the statements he's made, and I guess we'll just use this one, that was a lie. And if he just didn't wait to hear the reports, if this was too soon, then he should have said something about that by now. He should have discredited his own statement and said, I didn't know, I was wrong, but he has not. And then he accused further the Jews of basically genocide in Gaza. Now, I have to interject this that I've shared with you before, too. I've been on different kinds of trips to Israel. And one of the trips I was at Israel, there was only like 10 of us, and we were all reporters. And they were not Christians. I was probably the only evangelical person on that little bus. And we had a national security tour. We interviewed the Flying Camels. That was the brigade of flyers who would go into Gaza and do these strategic strikes on terrorists' apartments and homes when they would kill Israelis. And they moved heaven and earth, I can tell you firsthand, not to kill innocent people. The things they went, they dropped flyers, they did warnings. In some ways, it seems silly to me. In other areas, too, because this is war, but they value life. You can see how they value life by the way they want those bodies back from Hamas. So I think they go a little too far sometimes. Okay, so you can write me at sandy@afr.net. Now, I don't have time to explain my position on that. I think war is war. I think of the bombs dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Lots of innocent people died, but it was done in order to end a war and stop the killing of many hundreds of thousands of others. So it's like a Sophie's choice. Nevertheless, Israel does. I can tell you firsthand, I went to the Knesset. I went to a leader of the military, a meeting with military leaders. I heard the inventor of the Iron Dome in a lecture, just a small group of us. So I got to know the insides of their military establishment and how they conduct themselves. They are not committing genocide in Hamas. Hamas attacked them on October the 7th, burned their babies alive, ripped open women's wombs, beheaded babies, beheaded women. They did these things. It was horrific. And so they are right there living next door. There's so little space, no space between Hamas and Israel. They have to defend themselves. And it's very hard to detect between the actual terrorists and the people. And I have to say, I'm on the team that says, if you're living in Gaza, you know, you're probably not a pro-Israel. You probably don't give a whit about the lives of Jews. There might be some exceptions. Of course, there could be some exceptions. But they're taught in school. They don't even, on the map of the world for children in Hamas and in Palestine, well, there isn't a Palestine, is there now? I'm not sure. But they don't even have, Israel is not even on the map. Because it's from the river to the sea. From the river, we're going to drive them out. We're going to kill them, eliminate them. That is what they stand for. So if you say to me that by going in there and killing Gazans because it's filled with people with Hamas and you can't tell the difference, that's not genocide. That's self-defense since you live right next door. So that's Pope Leo. So what's my second point here? My second point is, this is just my, again, my impression. I feel that Catholics, because they have been in a desert for so long, have been eager to embrace this pope. And, you know, they traditionally feel that the pope is infallible. They speak of the Holy Father. The Holy Father said this. The Holy Father said that. And this is what the Holy Father said, that the Jews attacked the Holy Family Parish in Gaza and killed these people. He also said they were committing genocide and killing innocent people in Gaza. That's what Pope Leo said. Now, I think this is creating mass confusion among Catholics, which makes me circle back to Kevin Roberts. Kevin Roberts is a Roman Catholic. So are many of the other activists in Heritage, but not all of them. But a lot of people that I know who are just stellar leaders on the issues, just people that I admire and love so much, are also Roman Catholic. And I've heard them also shift their opinion toward Israel. And I think it's because of the confusion and really the outright lies that Pope Leo has told. But I would pair that with the desperation to finally have the Catholic Church back, the pride of the Pope, the pride of the whole system. And they're willing to kind of embrace this stuff, and it's shifting their attitudes. That's what I think. I think it's a terrible dilemma for Catholics who know Scripture and know history, because Catholics have supported the Jews. Not always. It's kind of a complicated history. But I think it's a terrible dilemma for Catholics who think this through. So what's the other reason for this confusion? Well, I know that Qatar, however you want to pronounce it, is spending millions, if not billions of dollars, on mass campaigns of propaganda to separate Christians, especially in America, from the Jews. I know this is true, I wish I had the article in front of me, so I will speak of those things I absolutely remember for sure. There are email exchanges between representatives of Qatar with people in media. They are spending money on news outlets, podcasts, influencers who are conservative and sometimes also Christian. They're spending tons of money on them. We know that Tucker was one of the first that went over and did a speech at Qatar, and we know that he got lots of money for that. I don't remember how much. I'm sorry, but it is time. It's like breathtaking. And there has been an odd beginning of the defense of Islam by Tucker, and I'll make that point in just a second. But also Fox News, they have email from some Fox News hosts to a Fox News host from representatives of Qatar suggesting talking points for talking about Qatar. And then evidence that 2 or 3 days later, this particular host or that particular program did an expose and used those talking points. And this has happened on several major conservative outlets. Okay, so I know this, and so I think, and they're also using social media, AI, just constantly spreading propaganda to our kids about how Bibi Netanyahu is influencing President Trump. He's controlling President Trump. How the Jews are committing genocide, repeating what the Pope said. These are talking points from Qatar. And why would I point out Qatar? Well, let me just say, Qatar is one of the biggest funders of terrorism in the world. When Israel started fighting back into Gaza with the Hamas going after them with a vengeance after October the 7th, guess where the Hamas leaders went? They went to Qatar. Qatar put them up in beautiful hotel rooms, long-term. They're still there as far as I know. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm pretty sure they're still there. Qatar gave them, they hid them. They protected them. So why, you ask, is President Trump and the rest of our team so enamored with Qatar? I don't even want to go into that right now, but I'm telling you, everything I'm saying to you is true. So this is a huge factor. They're turning the heads. And our kids in college, what counter do they have to that stuff? Because if they are Christians, if they are Catholics, what pushback are they getting from their churches? What pushback are they getting? They're getting none. So they're learning this stuff in a vacuum. So I think that's the reason, number three. And then the fourth thing is this, of course, is Lucifer's plan to ultimately do what's happening, and that is divide Christians from Jews. So even if these bad actors, and I'm calling Kevin Roberts one right now, I'm calling Pope Leo one, I'm even saying I'm certainly calling Tucker one. I don't think Ted Cruz is a bad actor, but he was unprepared and he needs to step up to the plate, and I bet he will. But these bad actors are being used. They're doing exactly what Satan wants. And you, in prophecy, it says that in the last days, the Jews really will have no defenders. They will be standing alone. No one will come to their defense. And I tell you, it breaks my heart. Even if I know it's prophesied, to watch this happen, given the Jewish friends that I have and the way that I know God wants us to respect and love them, I want to read you something. Mark Levin made a statement. Now, I'm going to just give you an idea. Mark, of course, is a Jew. He's a Jewish American who's written so many books, great books, on the foundings of America, the foundings of the documents, all of this. He is a lover of this country. And if you've ever listened to him, you certainly know that. Mark became a friend of mine. I don't have much contact with him anymore, but he was my friend. I love Mark. We used to agree with... We'd fight lots of battles together on, we'd always take these positions that nobody else had, and we were kind of partners in that. Mark is very smart. He was speaking to the, I think it's the Republican Jewish Coalition, to their annual leadership summit recently, after Tucker made these statements. Mark said this: if you reject Judaism, you reject Christianity. If you reject them both, then you reject the American founding based on Judeo-Christian values. Said, who protects the Church of the Holy Sepulchre? The Israelis. Who protects the Al-Aqsa Mosque? Al-Aqsa Mosque. The Israelis. Who protects the Jews and Christian sites in Israel? The Israelis. And he goes on to say, ironically, you have done more to unite us, Jews, Christians, believers in freedom, than anything else, because Americans love liberty and the Bible and the Golden Rule. And he talks, I wish I had this clip, he talks about, we are joined at the hip and cannot be separated. And so, and he's right about that. But I want to give you an idea of what Tucker actually said about Mark Levin. This is how ugly this has gotten. And then I'm going to pivot to Tucker a little bit. This is Tucker commenting, and you've heard this on this podcast before, on Mark Levin. Mark Levin, the hero, really, the patriot. Look, I was in a private meeting with Mark in the Congress with the Freedom Caucus. This is a number of years ago. And I was so proud of him for how he challenged them to stand by the truth and stand strong. It was a brilliant private message to these really what became great men. I think Mark is one that gave them tremendous backbone on trying to save America from whatever dilemma we were in then. But this is what Tucker had to say about Mark Levin. This is clip 9.
But I also think we should step back and ponder what we've learned. And what we've learned is who cares about the fortunes of the United States and who doesn't. And Ted Cruz doesn't, obviously. The people who acknowledge no risk at all because they were so focused on helping another country, like Ted Cruz, or like, you know, the many people who revealed themselves in the last 2 weeks, Mark Levin, chief among them, like those people should not have any access to power at all. Those people rolled the dice with your life and with the lives of your children. It's disgusting. And so, I mean, just ask yourself, is Mark Levin concerned at all about the United States, like at all? And the answer is no. Mark Levin is a repulsive ghoul whose entire sex life consists of watching other people get blown up. He was upset that there was a ceasefire.
That's enough.
And
that's
said
enough.
So.
Did you hear that? That is an absolute lie. That is an absolute lie. Mark Levin is a patriot. You should hear him talk about how many of his ancestors have fought in wars. He's got some heroes in his bloodline, really. Truly, in all the books he's written, that's just a lie. He's not a repulsive ghoul. That's so offensive. And that pivots to how bad Tucker has gotten. I want to give you some more examples because I know some of you are trying to, you know, look, as I've said to you before, I go back a long way with Tucker. I used to host Crossfire when I hosted it 3 times. And then I was a guest on the show innumerable times when I was president of CWA. It was, they called me constantly, and they did a live show from George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Tucker was the conservative host, and James Carville and Paul Begala were the liberal hosts. And so I was on with all of them so many times, I can't tell you. I was on with, when I would host, I replaced Tucker. I was the conservative host. That's how I know him. And so again, we're not personal buddies. We never did go out to lunch, but we were friends and respected each other. So that's how long I've known him. And I was such a faithful listener to his podcast. I was so proud of him when he was on Fox and did his evening show. Tucker was just the gold standard on COVID. And so all of those things are true. But this is, I want to just give you a recap just a little bit. We'll just run through these quickly. First of all, he interviewed the president of Iran. And this was before we struck Iran, when President Trump did the bombing of Iran. And the president of Iran, he does this really friendly conversation with him. And at the time, Iran, you may recall, were chanting, death to America, death to America. You may recall that Iran was trying to kill the president. Now, the powers that be here in the United States, FBI, whatever groups, foiled several attempts on President Trump's life. And Tucker was a skeptic of that. He didn't believe that. He didn't believe that. So he interviews the president of Iran without any kind of challenge. So that was a huge red flag. And so then I heard him. This is my first really, really red flag. When Tucker interviewed a pastor, a so-called pastor, I guess he is like in name only, small p, from a so-called Christian church in Bethlehem. Now, before I even tell you this story, Bethlehem has been occupied by Islamists for the last time I was, I can't remember, maybe it's 20 years before, when I was in Israel and interviewed, I think, the mayor in the city square. And it was very much controlled by the Jews, and we had freedom of movement, and people could go to the holy sites. So something changed. Oh, yes, something did change. The Islamists took over Bethlehem, and now they run it. And yet, Tucker interviewed this pastor of a so-called Christian church in Bethlehem who gave all the talking points of the Islamists about Israel. And he talked about its, he gave the stats of how many Christians are still in Bethlehem. And it was just so small. And he said, it's because of the Jews. It's because of the Jews. They were persecuting the Christians, which is an abject lie. And how did Tucker respond? Oh, really? Are you kidding me? This is what the Jews did. Basically, that's what he said. And I got so upset, I contacted a high-profile person and said, you've got to talk to Tucker, because I thought Tucker was just ill-informed. But I guess not, because it got worse. So this is what Tucker said about Hamas, and I just have to play this for you. I just described to you about Hamas and what they did on October the 7th. This is Tucker's statement, still now, just recently, on Hamas, clip two.
No one can plausibly claim that a Christian family are in Hamas. Okay, so like what, tell me... You can't claim that they're in Hamas while simultaneously claiming that Hamas is a group of jihadis. They're Islamic extremists, which they also claim constantly, which I don't know if that's true, by the way. It seems more like a political organization. But whatever it is, they're telling us constantly they're Al-Qaeda. So it can't also be true that Christians are a member of Al-Qaeda. Sorry.
Yeah.
So then we know they're not in Hamas. So why did they get killed? Why was their church blown?
So he's referring back to the lie, Pope Leo, that the church... The Jews killed the Christians in that church. That's tied into this. But I'm not even sure. They say they're a group of who's saying this. I'm not sure who he's talking about. But they're claiming, or like Americans or Jews or Christian Zionists are claiming, that Hamas are jihadis. I don't even know if that's necessarily true. Well, let me just come back by telling you Article 8 of the whatever, it's not a constitution, whatever their documents are in 1988 from Hamas. It is their constitution. Embraces jihad in clear terms. They've been declared officially by most of the world, or much of the world, as a terrorist group. It's not just the idea the Jews have. And Article 2, they claim that they are one of the wings of the Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood, this is very complicated. I've talked about it before, but they are, Al-Qaeda is Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood is like the respectable face, but not so respectful, of these murderous people who love death more than we love life. That's one of their chants. So, yes. And then we did see them, like, bury a few babies, burn a few babies alive, behead them, tear them out of their mother's wombs, and kill people randomly on October 7th. But we're not sure they're jihadis. That's how ridiculous Tucker has gotten. I'm going to give you a couple of more examples. He hosted Nick Fuentes. I just played to you about how Nick said he loves Hitler. So this is a professor who made this statement on Tucker's show without challenge. There's a very good argument that we should have intervened for the Nazis in World War II. Okay, America should have intervened for the poor Nazis. I think it's the same so-called historian who claimed that the real villain in World War II was Winston Churchill. He was the real villain, unchallenged by Tucker Carlson. I think that's all. I think I don't need to give you any more examples. I mean, it's really gotten very concerning. I'm very concerned about it. And, you know, Kevin Roberts will not distance himself from Tucker. And that brings me back to Turning Point, because I do need to address that. Kevin Roberts mentioned it in passing. He said that people are sowing division. Heritage is not anti-Semitic, which I believe that's true because they have a lot of Jewish people. Actually, their staff has had a real shakeup after this. Some people have stepped down and resigned, and they've had a real shakeup. That's why he's so upset and made that video, I'm sure. But then he throws in that Turning Point, because we're still involved with Turning Point, we're anti-Semitic. I think I need to just drop in here that we've got Candace Owens, another terrible actor who claims to be a Christian. I believe Candace is also Catholic. Not that that's important, except for my first explanation. There's plenty of confusion to go around everywhere. But Candace has just gotten weird. And she claimed that, she claimed that the people inside Turning Point knew about Charlie's attempt that he was going to be killed on that day. And that Charlie had changed his mind about a Jewish donor, had said in private emails, which she has now released, that he was having second thoughts about his stand on Israel, not to support Israel, but about Jewish donors and control and all of that, okay? So that's Candace just going after this. And then by that, she draws the conclusion that the Jews actually were responsible for Charlie Kirk's killing and people inside Turning Point were complicit. Okay, so that's what Kevin's talking about there, which is just a whole other pile of vile that I don't have time to go into, but I thought you should have an explanation on that. So here we have Tucker saying the things he's saying. Here we have Kevin Roberts defending him, and here we have Ted Cruz not able to really declare the truth from an evangelical perspective. We have Qatar spending millions of dollars to create all of this confusion, successfully, I might add. We have conservative outlets. We don't know who all's taking money. I know that Steve Bannon has gotten really weird on Israel, which makes me sick. Another good friend of mine from a long time has taken a turn. It's just very upsetting. I would say that these things have real-world consequences. Internationally, I can't go into all of this now, but just in Spain, I just read this a few days ago. Israelis in Spain report frozen bank accounts amid a new royal decree against the genocide in Gaza. And it's happening in England. They're not safe in England. They're not safe in France. It's worldwide. But back here at home, speaking of Heritage, they just released a report in March. Did I say that? In March, calling to wind down military aid to Israel as part of a strategy to have Heritage reorient its relationship with that country over the next two decades. So Heritage is backing away from Israel, as are many of our policymakers. And so this is a real-world consequence of lies. You know, there is no greater ally to us in the Middle East than Israel. They are our only real ally. I don't care all about all these agreements. When all is said and done, it's Israel who has our back. And they're the ones we share. We share a set of values that, as Mark Levin said, we are joined at the hip. They are our friends. Even if we don't agree on the Messiahship of Jesus Christ. So they are our greatest friends in the Middle East, and we need to support them. But Heritage is now going to suggest we not support them so much. That is a real world consequence of this. And I want to take just a little bit of a break, and then I'm going to come back with two points. Some people have questions about J.D. Vance because of some of the statements he's made recently. He's also a very close friend of Tucker Carlson. And when I return, I want to play something for you that maybe will help us sort that out too. I'm almost done, but don't go away. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
A recent Danish study revealed something really heartbreaking. Just 1 year after an abortion, women were 50% more likely to need psychiatric treatment and 87% more likely to experience personality or behavioral disorders. You know, I have to tell you, I've been watching this happen, various studies, for probably 40 years. This is not new news, but this is a late study. And really, we're not allowed to talk about this in the general public. So please listen. You know, that's not women's health care. That's trauma. Neither is the abortion pill. That's trauma. It's not women's health care. But at preborn, women find the real kind of care, and the kind it's the kind that heals. When a woman walks into one of preborn's network clinics, she's welcomed with open arms. She's introduced to her baby through an ultrasound, and for the first time, she sees life, not loss, and she's offered hope-filled choices. And when she chooses life, preborn continues walking with her for up to 2 years, providing maternity clothes, diapers, counseling, and so much more. Preborn cares for the whole woman, body, mind, and soul, and the precious baby growing inside her. As you think about your year in giving, consider the greatest investment you could ever make, the gift of life. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy, preborn.com/Sandy, whether it's an ultrasound machine for $15,000 or just one ultrasound for $28,000, your gift will go to save the life of a baby or babies. Go to preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
I'm also very concerned about who's working in the office of Jim Vance, and that is Buckley Carlson, who's Tucker Carlson's son, and which kind of espouses the isolationist views of many on the right. What do you think can be done to advocate and to help stop them?
I have no concerns about J.D. Vance. And, you know, in 2028, there will be many Republican contenders for the presidency. I know that Marco Rubio is thinking about a run. J.D. Vance is probably thinking about a run. I am not concerned about J.D. Vance. You mentioned the isolationist in his office. Last year, Senator Vance went to the Quincy Institute, which is the isolationist think tank, and he told this think tank, which is against any foreign intervention, that the United States will always remain solidly with Israel. And he went into the lion's den and he told them that. I understand people are upset about what happened at Ole Miss University and the response he gave to some of the questions, but he had just come back from a 3 or 4 day visit to Israel with his family. I think we need to be sensitive to anti-Semitism, but not hyper-reactive to anti-Semitism. That doesn't mean that everybody gets a blank check, but I do think that he's done the necessary things and gone and taken on the difficult fights where he deserves the benefit of the doubt. Again, that doesn't mean you trust everything a politician does from now on, but I'm not concerned about J.D. Vance based on what he said. He could have answered the questions better, but I think his heart is with Israel and the U.S.-Israel alliance.
Well, that's the voice of Joel Pollack, also someone I know. I know everyone, right? I do. I have been around a long time. I do know so many people. And that's what makes me able to speak to you with some confidence about backgrounds and facts and details. Joel is one of the higher-ups. He's the California person for Breitbart News. I've known him since he was really not even 20. He ran for Congress in Chicago. He is Israeli. We grew up in South Africa. His wife was an Israeli soldier, beautiful girl. Joel is loves America, but he loves Israel, and he's a truth speaker. And that was Joel's assessment of J.D. Vance. And I didn't want to get sidetracked on that, but you will hear, and you probably have heard, concerns about J.D. I've wondered myself because of his closeness to Tucker, but that's what Joel has to say. And I think I'm gonna let it stand at that for right now. I want to commend to you in closing a great article that Tony Perkins just wrote. Tony and I have been in contact about this, and this is the title of the piece. It's in Christian Post, Tucker Carlson's Mockery and God's Irrevocable Call. He talks about Romans 9 and 11, and as I did earlier, about the promise to the Jews that transcends. It's not just for Gentiles. We're not the inheritors. He goes on to say, Genesis 12, that's the promises God gave Abraham, remains valid and will be fully fulfilled. We can be confident the promise of the new covenant will be fulfilled. God gave this promise to Abraham. What is it? Go from your country to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, there's no way Abraham understood all that, but I want to make a point. I can make many. But when Tucker asked Ted, you mean the land of Israel now? Bibi Netanyahu's Israel? You're talking about that? You believe that we, if we bless them or curse them, that you mean that applies to that? Yes. God never, ever, ever disconnects the land from the people. I want to say that in our culture now, for the most part, we're very transient. We move. Our families fragment. You know, siblings move to other cities, other states, sometimes other countries. But in not that very distant future, in our country and certainly in the history of the world, families have been connected to land, family property, family ranches, family castles, family kingdoms, family names and property are inseparable in the history of mankind. It's just we can't relate because we don't have hardly any of that now. But that is what exactly God meant. The land and the people, the land and the people, the land and the people. And the land that Israel is on right now was just a tiny bit of what God promised them. And I think they will have the rest of it before Jesus comes again, before this is all over with. I believe that's prophesied in Scripture. So that's the promise. And then Tony goes on to say, so important, please listen. The church has been grafted into the covenant, not as a replacement for Israel. Paul warns Gentile believers in Romans 11:18, do not boast against the branches. Okay, so we are grafted in, like if you're a horticulturalist, which I am not. That's something else. Besides dogs and sports, I can't talk about planting things. I should talk to Adam. I bet he knows all about this, right, Adam? But when you plant things, you can graft. It's possible to graft branches into some living, existing entity, some tree, and we are grafted in. We're not the original. So that's why Paul says to the Gentile believers in Romans 11:18, do not boast against the branches. Remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. We are inseparable from God's people, the Jews, who he called and gave the promises to. We are grafted in. We are not the root. And so Tucker said that Christian Zionists are seized by a brain virus and that their beliefs are Christian heresy, writes Tony. Let's be clear. In ending the show, I'm going to end the way Tony does here. Let's be clear. Standing with Israel is not heresy. It's biblical orthodoxy. Christians who support Israel are not endorsing every decision of its government any more than they endorse every policy of their own. Rather, they recognize that God's prophetic promises move toward restoration, not rejection, multiplication, not subtraction. Paul didn't have a brain virus, nor did he teach a nationalistic fantasy. He articulated divine revelation. God's covenant with Israel remains intact because the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. That's Paul's words in Romans. The same faithfulness that secures Israel's future guarantees our salvation in Christ. Throughout history, from the prophets to the apostles to the church fathers, those who have taken Scripture seriously have affirmed this truth. God's dealings with Israel reveal his character. To deny that is to question the reliability, the word of God himself. So no, Christian support for Israel is not heresy. It is faith in action, anchored in the word of God, aligned with the heart of God, and consistent with the promises of God, promises to Israel and to all who believe. Amen and amen. And with that, I end. I hope that this has been clear. I prayed for that. And I pray this is what God wanted me to do when he woke me up early in the morning last week, because we want clarity. We want God to bring clarity. And if Israel is going to be isolated, I pray it's not yet. Not under our watch, Father, not under our watch. Well, before we go, I want to remind you that we could not do this if it weren't for Preborn. They are our major sponsor. And this is the end of the year, getting close to it. And as you think about what gift you might give, just pray about the things that we've been talking about today. And many of you, really, many of you are already so generous. I know that. I know that from Preborn. They tell me that, how generous my listeners are. And I'm just honored. Honestly, it makes me cry to think about it. because we're all in this together, and I'm just honored that you would hear and listen and act on it. So if you have or you haven't, go to preborn.com/Sandy, preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation or start donating today. Well, thank you for listening to this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.